know what? It's okay to be in a poor and a needy state, you know? I don't ever want to think that I'm rich and increased with goods in need of nothing. And in the state that we're in right now, I'm very aware of my poverty-stricken place. Okay, that looks bad. Let's see if we can fix it. Okay. Brother Chuck was a big prayer warrior in our church. Mighty man of God. And one day we'll stop talking about him so much, but I don't want it to be anytime soon. So when my husband said, I just don't think that I can do it, I was like, I've been studying on the Holy Spirit, and I think I know exactly what we should talk about. So not a preaching tonight, but just a reminder of what the Holy Spirit is and what the Lord is to us. So the Holy Spirit, one of the, I would say, least talked about members of the Trinity. You know, we talk about Jesus and the blood of Jesus and what Jesus has done for us. And we talk about the Father and his master plan and purpose of will and the creating and all of that. But the Holy Spirit is equal in the Godhead, but it is the part that we speak in tongues and talk about tongues. But the nature of the Holy Spirit isn't something that we talk about often. Not just us, but I just think in general. So you don't have to write all this down, but I put a decent amount of time lately just studying about the Holy Spirit. And when you've studied so much, it's hard to just do this much, you know? So I thought, well, I'm going to put a bunch of stuff up there and maybe just tease them to study about the Holy Spirit a little bit more. So the Holy Spirit's the third person of the Trinity. And I put references up there, but by no means are we going to all these. Sent by Jesus, bless you. Reproves sin and reveals truth. The Old Testament picture of the Holy Spirit was one of the pictures, is when the fire fell on that whole burnt offering and consumed that sacrifice. It was prophesied in Joel that the Holy Spirit would pour out upon all flesh. It was talked about in the New Testament that the Holy Spirit would abide with us forever. And I love this, that it would testify of Jesus. And I wrote in part of my script in my Bible of, you know, we're taught that if we see something or feel something in the Spirit, we need to go to the Word and test the Spirit by the truth to know that it's the right Spirit that we're going off of. That is because the Holy Spirit will always testify of Jesus. And Jesus was the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. So if the Spirit that we get a word from the Lord or we get a feeling from the Lord, we should measure that up against the Word. And that should testify of Jesus if it really is the Holy Spirit. Okay, so let's start looking in our Bible. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. It's where the Holy Spirit is first mentioned. Now, once you see, well, I'm going to speak for myself. Studying about the Holy Spirit recently, I can't stop seeing everywhere where it's mentioned the Trinity is not far around. So like you'll look at something and then you'll see, wait a minute, there's the rest of the Trinity. Because which makes sense because they all three work in unison together. But it's incredible. In the New Testament, it's like slipped up in there in so many little places. But once you see it, you can't unsee it. I have been enjoying so much the Lord revealing that to me. Like that wasn't a part of the study that I was trying to get into. I was just wanted to be more comfortable with the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. But the doctrine of the Trinity is so wrapped up in that. And I just have been like, that is so cool that that's right there. So to get the Holy Spirit at the very beginning, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 1. And I'll read for us. I'll start in verse 1. For it is written, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Spirit of God moving upon the face of the waters. This was the Holy Spirit. And that word moved means to hover or to brood. To brood. So what our very... Because when it's the law first mentioned, when you look at it first, the biggest thing that you're looking at is it gives you a really big context of the first time a word is mentioned or a principle is mentioned. When you go there, it gives you a really firm foundation of that whole principle and the context of all that matters. So what we see about the Holy Spirit from the very beginning is that it broods upon things. It was brooding upon the water. And what came out of that? Birth came up out of that. Because the Father spoke, God spoke, because the Spirit was brooding there, that chaos turned into something orderly. So when the Spirit broods over the chaos and God speaks, it brings light to birth. Which makes sense. The Father speaks, the Spirit broods, and light comes to birth, which is the Son, that resurrected life comes to birth. Jesus! So right there in the first two verses of Genesis, I've never seen that before. You've got the Trinity already working. You got the principle that the Holy Spirit is going to come and it's going to reveal the light, and that light is going to be brought to birth by the spoken word of the Father. I just was like, man, that is so cool. How many times have I read Genesis 1 and 2? A bunch. I tried to read the Bible all the way through a lot. And at the, you know, January 1 every year, I'm reading Genesis 1 and 2, you know, like... Never saw that in that light before. So the Spirit will bring forth life, will bring to birth the light that is inside of us if we allow it to brood and to rest. So the other thing as I began to really take a deep study on the Holy Spirit was, man, the Holy Spirit is referenced in the Word of God as a lot of things. So I think there's 39 things listed right here. So you have... And we could study each of this. Oh, I'm sure there is. That's the homework for next week. Find the next thing. but we could go and study each one of these individually. And we could learn more about the Holy Spirit. But I thought it was incredible that as you begin to open up what you think is this little thing, it's everywhere and referred to as so many things. So when you begin... All of these are Spirit of truth, Spirit of counsel, Spirit of fear of the Lord, Spirit of glory, Spirit of grace, Spirit. It's the Spirit of all of these things. That's the Holy Spirit. And it's also referenced, the Holy Spirit is referenced as all of these things over here, as a dove, as an eagle, as fire, as a wind. We know about eagle and dove intercession. And we know that because of this principle here. These are all the things. Isn't that crazy? How many things? I was blown away by that too. Oh. Yes. So when you start to pick out a piece of doctrine, one of my goals for this year has been pick a piece of the doctrine that we believe. My original goal was to take one every month and just deep dive in that piece of theology that we believe in and just nail down that, just to reaffirm my faith in the basic doctrines that we believe. But 1 month on the Holy Spirit is not near enough. Because it is like you pull the string and all this comes out, you know. So it's been an exciting adventure for me, and I'm brooding on the Spirit. I'm not moving on from it. If it takes me all year to just go around, then that's what it'll do, you know? Okay, so let's go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 16. Look. Thank you, Lord. Just say amen when you get there. So in women's Bible study, we've been talking about the life of Jesus. Then when we talked about John the Baptist is saying all these things like, I come to baptize you in water, but then one that's coming that I'm testifying against is going to baptize you with fire and baptize you in the Holy Spirit. That happens after Jesus comes and Jesus sends the Comforter down. And you can read that, and it's like right there at the beginning of Acts is when Jesus says, okay, I'm now going to start baptizing you with fire. Okay, so now we're in John, and Jesus is before he sends it, he's telling us about what he's going to do. So are you on John 14? In verse 15, it reads, "If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth," which is another name for like the Holy Spirit that was on one of our lists, "whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." I love this next verse. "I will never leave you comfortless. I will come to you." And that's why I thought this lesson was so beautiful, because we're in a place of poverty that we need comforted. And I've been holding on, "Lord, send your comforter down. Lord, comfort me with the Spirit." And that's been a prayer ever since Brother Chuck passed, that I've been praying, "Lord, I need the comfort more than I've ever needed the comfort in your Spirit and in your Word." So this, when it says in verse 16, "And I will pray the Father, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter." That word "another," there's two Greek words for "another." Allos, which means another of the same kind, or hetero, which means another of a different kind. So another of the same kind would be, both of these are berries. And if I said, "Oh, I'm going to give you a strawberry," and you ran out and I was like, "Oh, I'll give you another one, but I give you a blueberry." Different kinds, both berries, but they're not the same. But when Jesus says here that "I'm going to send you a comforter," it is this allos. It's another of the same kind. He's literally proving the Trinity in what he is saying here, because he's saying, "I'm not going to send you the same but a little bit different, but I'm sending you something. I'm sending you the comforter, which is the exact same, another of the exact same kind." He's saying, I'm here to comfort you right now, but I'm going to send you a comforter that's just like me, because he's part of the Trinity. He's part of me, and that comforter is going to come down, and it's going to be just like me, but I'm going to be able to be there physically. That Holy Spirit will be with each and every one of us. So he's proving the Trinity even in what he says by the word "another." I thought that was super awesome. And we know that the Spirit, this comforter, this Holy Spirit, is relational with us, because Jesus tells us that he may abide with you forever. He's saying this comforter that I'm sending with you is going to abide with you and is going to be with you forever. That the Holy Spirit is something that is going to stay with us and comfort us. We're not going to get the Holy Spirit and it's going to leave us and we're going to be by ourselves. And just in case we didn't understand, that's why he said verse 18, "I will never leave you comfortless. I will come to you," because he is the comforter. Because see how the Trinity doctrine is so like in every part of it too. So now let's flip just probably a couple pages over to John 16. John 16, and you can read verses 7 through 15 here. This is talking about the Spirit of truth, which is another word for the Holy Spirit. And we'll start in verse 7. Jesus is speaking. He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, that it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." So he's saying, Jesus is saying, for the Comforter to come and rest with you, I have to leave so that I can send him, so that he can be here to comfort you. And you know, when I'm saying, "Lord, I need your Comforter," I'm wanting like literally a comforter, like a blanket to cozy around me, like something warm and fuzzy. That's what my flesh is asking for. But you look up what comforter means in this section of Scripture, and it doesn't mean somebody to pat you on the back and give you the give you the rainbow butterfly feeling. But it actually means a counselor for defense, someone who pleads another case before a judge, an advocate, pleading with God the Father for the pardon of our sins, and an intercessor. So when the, isn't that awesome? I'm always like, man, I was really expecting like a lovey pat on the back, but instead this comforter is going to war for us. That is how he comforts us, because he is the advocate on our behalf to say, wait a minute, there it was a pardon for the sin through the blood of Jesus, and he's there making intercession for us. That's what that Romans 8, 26 and 27 talks about, that the Spirit comes and he maketh intercession. I'm going to flip over there because it's good and I want to make sure to read it. Romans 8, 20. Let me flip there. Romans 8, 26 and 27. You can stay in John if you want, but I'm going to read this. It says, likewise, the Spirit also healeth our infirmities. He heals our infirmities by being our comforter. For we know not what to pray. We know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession. That intercessor is our comforter, makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. How does the Holy Spirit comfort us? He intercedes. He's an advocate for us according to the will of God. So when I'm saying, Jesus, send your comforter, I'm saying, give me enough strength so that I can walk through whatever you will me to walk through. I'm not saying make me feel good in the moment that I'm in. That's what my flesh is honestly saying. That's what I want to, I want it to be easy. I want it to be better. I want it not to hurt so bad. I want it all back the way I wanted it to be. But I know when I say, Lord, I don't want my way. I want that. I need the comforter to come and be the intercessor for me and plead for the will of God on my behalf, because my flesh wants the cozy comforter wrapped around me. But I know that the Holy Spirit will come and say, wait a minute, there's blood. There was blood shed for every saint in Owensboro. And not so that we can feel good, but so that we can go and walk in the will of God. And it's comforting me because when I can't pray for the will of God for myself, I can say, Lord, please send the comforter to do it for me, because I know my new man wants the will of God, but my flesh is kicking and screaming because it hurts, because it's not the way I thought it was going to look. And if we skip down in John chapter 16, verse 13, it talks about what the comforter will do. And then it says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He's guiding us into all truth because he's making intercession for us. He's advocating for us. And he's saying, come on, I'm going to comfort you, but I'm not going to comfort you by patting you on the back and giving you all the lovings. I'm going to comfort you by leading you in the truth and exactly what you need. And I'm going to show you that light. I'm going to rest and brood on this truth so that it can be brought to birth in your life. And that truth is what's going to be the comforter. That truth is what's going to give us peace. That truth is what's going to let us rest and give us the peace that passeth all understanding. Not the cozy comfort around us that I think of when I say, Lord, send your comforter. But he will lead us and guide us in all truth. And it finishes verse 13 by saying, for he shall speak not of himself, but whosoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. This is Jesus speaking. He's telling us again, the Holy Spirit is going to come and glorify me. Try the Spirit with the Word, because that's who the Spirit's always pointing to. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall shew it unto you. So he's going to receive it from the Father. He's going to reveal Jesus, and he's going to show it unto us. The Trinity working right there. In verse 15, it says, all things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall shew it unto you. He's saying the same thing over again. He's giving you a picture of how the Trinity is working together to comfort and show us the truth. The Father is there, the Son of the Light is there, and the Holy Spirit is there brooding, bringing all that light to birth. And that in itself is really comforting. So I don't have a lot because this is just where I felt it to be. So this, knowing that that is really what the comforter is. The comforter is one that's going to intercede on our behalf for the will of God when we have infirmities. When we're poor, when we're needy, when we're in all of those corners, that's when the comforter comes. Every time you study the book of Ruth, you know, you think, oh, yep, I've been there before, but we just keep going on around in them corners, don't we? It's like we get through them and we have an experience and we're like, God, you moved in the poor corner before. You moved in the stranger corner before. You've moved in the fatherless corner and the widow corner. But he says, yeah, but I've got a little more for you to gain. So he gives us another situation and we start right back on that wheel all over again. But you know what? And this is the thing that I'm learning is being in those corners in my early spiritual development. I'm squirming in the corners. Why am I here? How long do I have to be here? What is happening? I thought you were going to comfort me, but now as we've gone around these circles a couple times, as we've grown up a little bit spiritually, we can look back and say, it doesn't hurt any less. But I see that you're doing something because I've seen you do it before, and I know where you have me. And I'm going to pull back from the situations where I've been here before. Jesus. And I'm not happy to be here, but I'm going to lean on the gratitude of what you did for me the last time. Jesus. And I'm going to believe that I can lean on the comforter to lead and to guide me and to make intercession for me. And thank God for those experiences because, man, at the time I'm like, Lord, why am I so poor? Why am I so weak? Why am I so feeble? But now I'm like, I see me being in that weak and feeble state again, and thank you for what you did because it is giving me gratitude to walk through that all over again. I know if I'm starting in the poor corner, then all those other corners are about to be right around the corner. We're going right around the corner all over again. And the Holy Spirit, Jesus, being our comforter, is pleading on our behalf, and I'm looking back and saying, Lord, I'm not grown enough to be happy that I'm here, but I'm grown enough to look back and say, thank you for doing that then. And Holy Spirit, come and comfort me and lead me and guide me and reveal the truth because I know that there is purpose in your plan. I don't understand it. I don't know it, but I know enough to know that there's a purpose in it. And I know enough to say, all right, Lord, if I'm really poor, that's the time where you really show up. You said, blessed are the poor. So, okay, you must be blessing me because I'm in this poor state. And I know that because the Comforter is coming, there is something that is going to be revealed to me in this situation. So the Holy Spirit has four ministries, let's call them. Reverend Hicks wrote a book about it, gives you all the details, but we're not going through all of them. But the baptism of the Spirit is really the speaking in tongues. It's where you're fully enveloped, the Holy Spirit takes over, and it begins to give you, and you get the evidence of speaking in tongues. There's an anointing. So have you ever seen those people that got anointed or the Lord calls them to something and you can see the Holy Spirit's anointing on them and it's like they're not the same? Something happened and all of a sudden the anointing of the Holy Spirit now rests upon them and they're able to do things that you You knew them before and they weren't able to do that, but all of a sudden now they're able to do it. The Holy Spirit, that's the anointing of the Spirit. This endowment is when the Spirit is able to lead and to guide you in a certain way. And this filling is very similar to what it says. It's to be full up. I've literally seen this in Sister Kelly in the past week. Overflowing with being full of the Spirit. And we could go in a big study about being full of the Spirit, but I wanted to just give this little tidbit to get you interested. So to be full of the Spirit, this is the very beginning of the Spirit. This is not speaking in tongues. This is just the other ministries, baptism, tongues is always involved. The baptism of the Spirit, the evidence of speaking in tongues is involved. The other two, it's most of the time involved, but not always. And the filling of the Spirit, you do not have to have the evidence of speaking in tongues to be filled with the Spirit. And so the being filled with the Spirit is to be influenced. It's to supply. It's to fulfill and to furnish. So it's this just, have you ever felt when your spirit is really clean and you're like, things just roll off you? Like, I always know, my kids always test this in me. Like, right, no, like, that should bother me. I'm impressed with myself because that did not bother me. What just happened? Like, you know you're in a really good spiritual state when you're like, how did I not get really mad? I'm hungry and they said something sassy and I'm still kept my mouth shut. That must be the Lord. You know, that is that being full of the Spirit. That's this overflowing of the Spirit. This comes, yes, as a gift, but by spending time with the Lord, by spending time with the Spirit, by fellowshipping with the Spirit, and being willing to when that comforter goes in to make intercession for us, and when the comes through us to even make intercession, that we're willing to clean out our spirit so that we're allowing the Holy Spirit to fill us as a vessel and we don't have our vessel filled with other things. So what happens in this filling of the Spirit? Let's go to Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Well, Acts, the other way in the Bible. Acts 4, 31. The book that Reverend Hicks wrote on that has these four ministries, I think it's actually called The Ministry of the Holy Spirit. It is literally a drop in the bucket. It's the start for you to see the principle so that you can look through the entire word and see it everywhere through there. I encourage you. It's really been blessing me, this study, and I encourage you guys to, I hope this encourages you to do the same. Are y'all in Acts chapter 4, verse 31? I'll read for us. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Right. You ever say something before and it just pops out of you and you're like, wow, that was powerful. Are you like, you know, that wasn't you because you're like, that was wisdom. Like, you know, and you're thinking, man, that ministered to me, and I said it. It's like the Holy Spirit has just really, honestly taken over your tongue, and you said it, and you're like, wow, it's the Holy Spirit pulling from things that you know. It's pulling from things in your spirit, but when you're so quick, you're so bold to give the truth, you're so bold to take a stand, that is evidence of you being full of the Spirit. That is powerful. This lesson is like, this is what Sister Kelly is this week. She, through the Holy Spirit, through all of us lifting her up in prayer, you have literally seen the evidence of this. When, you know, I could tell you 100 little things that I've seen, but so this, that's what it does. When you're full of the Spirit, it gives you boldness to proclaim the truth in a way that it's an unnatural boldness, something that is out of even your norm, but that it's the firmness and the boldness for you to stand and for you to take a truth and to stand for the truth. Now let's go to Ephesians as we wrap up. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. And I call this the fruit of being full and walking in wisdom, because this is several things. And I see this in our brotherhood. This isn't just, Sister Kelly has set the tone very beautifully, and the Lord has anointed her for the season that she is walking through. And I think that the Lord has also anointed us as a church family, because I have seen these fruits of what it looks like to be full of the Spirit. And they're talking here, are we all in Ephesians chapter 5, verse, let's do verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So this is telling us how to walk wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding that the will of the Lord is, be not drunk with wine, within is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk on wine. Don't be drunk on all these other things. Don't let all these other things take over, but be full of the Spirit. So influenced by the work of the Holy Spirit that that is what's guiding and directing you. Not by everything else of this world, but you get so much fullness of the Spirit. That's what it's saying, to be filled with the Spirit. Then I love how the Word does this. The Holy Spirit followed the hands of the penmen's right in the scripture, and it is just encouraging. Because you ever wonder, like, okay, we're kind of putting together what filled of the Spirit looks like and what the Comforter looks like, but these next several verses give us a beautiful picture of what that actually is. So it says, but be full of the Spirit, and then it's going to explain in the next verses what being full of the Spirit is. In verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. So how do we walk full of the Spirit? How do we allow that Comforter to be overflowing on the inside of us? Have you ever wondered, I'm so sick of hearing that scripture, give thanks in all things. Because it is hard to give thanks in some things. It is like, let's just be real about it. Our natural flesh does not want to give thanks in all things. And sometimes we're giving thanks as our flesh is kicking and screaming, because we're like, Lord, I know I'm supposed to give thanks. I'm madder than horning about it, but I'm going to put a praise on it. You know, I'm going to toss your Cobbett and just put a praise on it. I'm going to do my best to put thank you, Jesus, on it, but I'm really mad about it. You know how we get that, our words to match our heart? It's by being full of the Spirit. That's how it is unnatural to look at situations that look so off, that are so shocking, that are so crumbling to our world. And we say, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I can't stop singing the song It Is Well, because that's, I'm like, Lord, I want that to be my, I want that to be my song anthem of, Lord, whatever you do, it is well. Lord, I trust you with my life. Whatever happens, and the only
Praise God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. The filling of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. It has changed me, that's for sure. Amen. Just yielding to the Holy Ghost, I think, is... Yes, please do. She, hey, hold on a second. She says a lot of somethings. Right. Amen. Yes. Yeah. Right. It is. Amen. Amen. Yes. That's powerful. That's so good. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Sometimes you just got to step back and, you know, retrospectively look and see where God's brought you through. And amen. That's so good. So good. Love it tonight. Praise God. Yeah. Yeah, she's been talking about. Yes. Amen. I think that's, that is evident for sure. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. All right, well, let's stand tonight. We're going to pray and dismiss. Thank you, Jesus. It's been good to be in God's house and just to let him pour into us. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, let's pray together. Precious Lord, we're so grateful for your truth. We're so grateful, Lord God, for the word. Lord, Holy Ghost, we thank you tonight, Jesus. Lord, that you're a comforter, Lord God, that you fill us. Lord God, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, tonight,